production.
Welcome to Taking On Sports, y'all. I am TD. That is Greg, and we are here with your favorite sports podcast. Greg, how you doing this week, bud?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good, man. Sun shining, nice weather out. Been a good early slate of NFL action. Another good Saturday of college football.
Sure.
You know, hey, what more can you ask for? We'll start with college, as always. Start with the home team, as always. Alabama survives against Texas A&M. It was not a pretty game. Backup quarterback Jalen Milroe played, turned the ball over three times himself, added another fumble from Jason McClellan, two missed field goals, still won the game, though. You got to give him credit for that. Resilient. And, yeah, I mean, what do you think of the performance, Greg?
You know, sometimes a win is a win. It's frustrating, though, because we did so much to beat ourselves. Like, I mean, we spotted them 14, put the defense in a horrible position just with those two fumbles like that. And but, you know, like you said, it was resilient, and we're on to the next week, still undefeated. Could have been worse. Almost gave me a heart attack a few times. But
for real, man. I was working an event and, you know, had it sneaking off to the back room to get it up on my phone. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny. I talked about this in the group text with some friends just now about, you know, one of them's kind of bitching about actually, one of the founders of the Alabama take. I'll call him out by name, Caleb Johnson. Bitching about Milroe and talking about how we can't win an elite level without him, you know, like he's going to fumble three times every week. Look, we all know that. And look, first of all, my offensive blame always goes to Bill O'Brien. I'm just praying that some NFL team takes him off our hands.
Our college season. Team, anybody.
Anybody, high school, his kids' pee-wee team, just somebody.
Somebody.
Somebody, please.
Yeah. What was it, that third one? One of the last time we had the ball, it was third and three. And they ran two pass plays, and they had them bunched out in the formation. It's like, dude, why? And get the last two plays, Gibbs didn't touch the ball. I'm like, clearly he's our only offense of the night.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, it's frustrating sometimes. You just don't know what he's doing. But, yeah, resilient performance. Well, defense played great. Like you said, they spotted him 14 points because they had, you know, short fields each time because of the fumbles. I think they got a field goal off of the interception. They got no points off of the other turnover.
Right.
But, actually, if you look at the stats after the game, it's funny. Some of the A&M internet fans apparently are saying that they came in and outplayed us, which is just laughable. Because they did not. If they outplayed us, they would have won the game.
Exactly.
Give credit to them. I mean, they played tough. Did. And Stewart, man, that's a star at receiver there.
He's definitely on the rise. If they could ever get a consistent offense, that could be scary.
Yeah, if they get a quarterback that could actually, you know, get them good balls, because he was bailing out King a couple times, especially on that last drive. He took that interception away from one of our defensive backs.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bama ran for almost 300 yards. Milroe actually finished with a better QBR than King. I'd like to point that out. You take away those fumbles, and that game's probably not close. But turnovers happen. Bama won. They won ugly. Hopefully Bryce is healthy for next week, because we'll probably need him in a shootout with the hot Tennessee Volunteers, who went into Baton Rouge and just spanked LSU. Just wearing those ugly-ass gray jerseys. Tennessee –
it would mean that game was over from the get-go. Mm-hmm. You know, off that fumble, off the first kick, you just knew, this is going to be a long day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was not pretty for Brian Kelly's boys there. LSU fans not happy about it. But I tell you what, I don't think I've ever heard – I know it was early for those those folks down in Baton Rouge, but
it was quiet.
I don't think I've ever heard an opposing team's fan base sound that loud in Tiger Stadium.
They seemed like they had half the dang stadium.
They did, man. It didn't look like a lot of oranges in there. I don't know if they were just hyped up. You know, first real reason for Vols fans to cheer since
forever.
Phil Fulmer was there.
All I heard was orange, and I heard that damn Rocky Top 500,000 times.
I swear. But when we were back in school, we used to play NCAA Dynasty, in the dorm and all that.
Yeah.
I swear that Rocky Top was turned up louder than any other fight song in that game. It's just bull. But, Tennessee, I haven't seen it announced yet. I don't know if it has been, but I imagine game day will be in Knoxville.
Thought I saw it. Yeah, definitely.
Did you? Yeah.
We'll be in there.
That place will be rocking. Imagine Bryce Young will be back. Coach Saban said he was even trying to get in the game at the end last night. So, it could be.
Talking about Bryce, how people are on the internet and everybody's like, bring Bryce in to finish the game. I'm like, that's a terrible decision.
Keep him healthy. Let him rest that shoulder.
Bring in the freshman. I'm like, he has never played a meaningful football. We don't know why would you put him in that situation? Like, people are so emotional these days.
Everybody's favorite player is the backup quarterback.
Exactly.
And again, I haven't sat down to watch the game in its entirety and really analyze it. But
he did. Milroe, the two fumbles, they were frustrating just because how he was carrying the ball. But, that just comes with experience, I would say. And, his interception was a bad interception. We got lucky on a few that they did drop a few. But, at the end of the day, he's a redshirt freshman in a tough situation. A&M's coming in guns out because they have nothing to lose on the season. That was their Super Bowl, national championship, more or less. And, he did enough to win the game. He just learned from it. He'll learn from it. Hopefully that will help him in his future here, and we'll go from there.
Exactly. And like I was telling them, look, we either Bryce Young's close to 100% or as close as he can be next week.
Exactly.
And we get a shootout with Tennessee through the air, or Milroe plays again, and we get in a shootout by running the ball.
It's all forgotten. We win next week in Knoxville. It's all forgotten what happened against Texas A&M. So.
Exactly. And we got the W. We can forget it now. 24-hour rule. It's over. We won. Right.
Move on.
Like you said, redshirt freshman backup quarterback. Like I mentioned, all the turnovers and the missed field goals.
Now, the field goals, that was disheartening because
Will Reichert's been so good.
So good. It was like, oh, my gosh.
It was everything lined up for one of those, typical, the Bama losses of the Saban. Yeah. Just one of those. Yeah,
did Cade Foster find a uniform?
Yeah.
Who let him in the stadium?
All the ghost of Ryan Flugner back.
My goodness.
Some Donnybrook going on in the Bills. Yeah. Steelers, what's going on there?
Steelers showing a little heart too late.
Way too late, this game. I guess they played a decent second half because they've only let up one touchdown.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back on track here. So UT smashed LSU. Talked about that big game next week. Biggest third Saturday in October.
Yeah. How long?
I don't know. Maybe since before Saban was there. I don't even know. That's big. Elsewhere in the SEC, Georgia rebounded. Big win over Auburn and the Deep South's oldest rivalry. Really not much to
The only thing I like to say about that game is only if I were an Auburn defensive player, I'm pissed. Because, they're playing good football defensively. Mm-hmm. Just to know that you don't have a chance because your offense is not going to give you anything and eventually you're going to get tired. That shit is, I don't know.
It's frustrating. Yeah, it's frustrating.
Every week.
because that game was close for most of the first half,
Exactly.
All the defense, like you said, they were holding Georgia down and just they had nothing to do in the offense. So one funny thing I read or heard, I forget, was some theories that basically Auburn's just keeping Harsin around to so he can suffer through these losses too. So, so I don't know. It's just not getting any easier for Auburn. But
no, it's not.
Georgia, I think they go into their tough stretch now.
Not so we'll quite. No, they not play. Quite. No, they ain't got. I think they got Vanderbilt.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Never mind that.
I think it's their November that's tough.
November that's tough.
I think that's when they play like Tennessee. Hopefully Kentucky will be healthier and make that somewhat of a game. But I think that's all in November.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, they get Vanderbilt next week, bye week, cocktail party, and then, yeah.
You never know in Florida, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, you never knew, but they did win, but it was not pretty against Missouri. No. You mentioned Kentucky. Kentucky upset by South Carolina last night.
Without their – I mean, they're a whole different team without their quarterback. Like, my goodness.
Yeah, for sure. Will Levis needs to be healthy for Kentucky to play like they can. Elsewhere, Mississippi State trounced Arkansas, their third straight loss. State?
Yeah.
Looking good.
It is looking good.
Mm-hmm. Anything else in the SEC? Not really anything.
With some of the losses like Arkansas, KJ Jefferson, really took that game out. I guess the main thing I took was just matchups like without their quarterback. You hate to see it when they don't really have a replacement like we do that really can, make it a game, you hate to see, Will Levis out. You hate to see KJ out just because it takes away from the games. But
yeah, for sure. Let's see. Look ahead to next week. We mentioned, of course, the third Saturday in October is the big one. Really. LSU, Florida State, and Kentucky play each other in Lexington. So that'll be a big one.
Yeah, if Will Levis is healthy, that'd be an interesting one for sure.
It will. All right. We'll move on to the Big 12. TCU went to Lawrence, won a great game. That game was crazy. Man, those receivers were making unbelievable catches.
Oh, my goodness.
And the replay booth was upholding them, too. Good for them.
Yeah.
That was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, real fun. Yeah, both receiving cores were putting up numbers. That was crazy. Yeah,
that was not a one-sided game by any means.
It was fun.
A lot of fun, going forward. TCU takes control of the Big 12, or at least they're tied with Oklahoma State.
And they're playing this coming up week. Big game.
They are. That's Fort Worth. Huge game. Yeah, that'll be midday on ABC. That'll be a big spot. Kansas, their next game, they'll go to Norman to face the free-falling Sooners who got boat raced by the Texas Longhorns, 49-0, biggest win for Texas in the series history. The Red River Shootout. It's the shootout, damn it. I'm going to call it it is.
Leave it what it is. This is definitely the shootout. I hate they ever changed it or whatever they wanted to make it more correct, I guess.
Sark got those boys rolling. Quinn Ewers came back with a vengeance. Big win for Texas going forward. Get them some momentum. If you're a Texas fan, you love to see that in that game especially.
And it's been a tough sledding for them. And, OU's kind of dominated that series over the last decade. And they get that big 49-0. It helps with recruiting. It helps with, everything with the program. And, yikes, OU. Second week again, straight slaughtered. it's getting tough,
it's not looking good in the first year for Brent Venables right now. You would think they could at least turn around and get to a bowl game, but
who knows?
It's too early, to talk about that kind of stuff. They'll play Kansas next week. Texas will host Iowa State next week, who lost a close one to Kansas State.
Yeah,
real defensive affair, but Kansas State's another big one. So your top of your Big 12 right now is Oklahoma State, TCU, and Kansas State. Sure, we all had that with our bookies.
Oh, of course.
Before the year. Yeah, that was it. We'll move to the Pac-12 now. The big news from that conference this weekend, UCLA, still unbeaten, knocked off Utah, and it really wasn't close.
No, it wasn't.
They pulled away, and they just continue to run all over their opponents. Chip Kelly, I mean, that's looking like one of his Oregon teams right now.
Yeah. They're looking
they had good. Over 500 yards of total offense, almost 300 passing, 200 rushing. Yeah, they just look great. And they won the game good. By 10, and it wasn't that close, really. Ruined their rivals' big showdown with Utah next week. USC, who they had another easy win themselves. Did you catch, though, by chance, Pac-12 After Dark, the end of the Oregon State-Stanford game?
I didn't. I read about it, but
it was insane. I happened to be up for it. Worked late, got off still, you know. Yeah. Was a little keyed up, so I was like, why not? I'll fall asleep to this game. And it was like the Minnesota Miracle, you know, the Viking-Saints game from years. This guy just caught improbable pass, comes down with it. The defensive backs are just confused. They don't know where the ball is, and he's sprinting toward the end zone. You know, Stanford fans, they're just, you know, hands on their heads. Surrender Cobras looking like we stayed up late for this. crazy game, crazy. Elsewhere, Arizona State beats Washington, hands them their second loss in a row.
Second straight loss. Yeah, that was a shocker there.
It's good for the teams that have fired their coaches during the season so far. They're all looking good. They're benefiting from it.
Yeah.
And Oregon went into Tucson, a place that has been kind of a scary place for them, and beat the hell out business. Of yeah, handle business. So they're looking good too.
Yeah. The reason seems like whenever Oregon goes to the state of Arizona, whether it be in Tempe or around Tucson, they always seem to have weird games. But yeah, definitely not the case yesterday.
Yeah, so we'll see.
And for a team that after that Georgia loss, you know, they kind of forgot about Oregon after that Georgia loss, but they're really in the thick of things. At least, you know, definitely the Pac-12 race, definitely in the New Year Six conversation. So I mean, always seems right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the big game in that conference next week, USC goes to Utah, and then both UCLA and Oregon have a bye week, but they'll play. I believe they'll play 2 weeks from now. Yeah, they might have a Friday game even. I'm not
Is
sure.
Is that a Friday one?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to look at the schedule right here. I'm not sure if that's right or not. But, yeah, they play each other next regardless. They both have byes next week, and then they'll play. It's a Saturday game. But that's a big – that'll be a big unbeaten showdown.
Huge game. That's Pac-12. Eugene, right?
It is in Eugene, correct, yeah.
It'll be a huge game.
Big game. Alton Stadium will be loud.
Man. And for a small stadium, that place gets super loud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's something about the way it's built. Just reflects sound back onto the field. We'll go, cross country, finish that up. So, yeah, like I said, that'll be a big game. Pac-12. Pac-12 looking strong for a college football playoff bid.
For a conference that's supposed to be dead. Like, yeah, they're hanging. Mm-hmm. Hanging tough.
Yeah, maybe looking good to, you know, potential teams that might want to go that way. We'll bounce back across the country to the ACC real quick. Clemson won big. NC State won a close one over Florida State.
That was an ugly game.
Oh, very ugly. Yeah, not pretty at all. North Carolina went down to Miami and won.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too much of note from the ACC this week. Syracuse ranked. Finally, they're unbeaten. They'll host NC State next week, and Florida State will host Clemson, so they'll try to rebound from a couple tough losses.
Two straight losses, but even then, with that, I mean, they're still somewhat improved.
Mm-hmm.
Tallahassee will be rocking, whether it's a good game or not, we'll wait and see. But yeah, it'll be a good environment to start tonight.
Yeah, and that'll be a good test for Clemson too after they got that NC State win. But we'll really see. You know,
NC State going on the road to it's not the Carrier Dome anymore, but the Dome, whatever its name now, Syracuse. Especially if they're without their quarterback, man, because Leary out with that had his arm in a sling there in the third quarter, so.
Yeah, that's not what you want if you're a Wolfpack fan. And yeah, the Dome is always a
tricky place.
Just a scary place for road teams.
Weird things happen.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Anything else of note? Louisville got their first conference win. They sorely needed that. So did Coach Scott Satterfield because his seat's getting a little hot.
You know,
Virginia Tech continues to struggle.
Georgia Tech got their second straight conference win.
Fired exactly. their coach. Again. Yep, another program that fired their coach, looking good. You know, we mentioned Nebraska's won a couple games.
Two games
since.
In a row.
That's so. Yeah, you know, hey, that
that might be
says the ADs, man. If you're unsure, pull the trigger. You know,
exactly.
We'll finish up the big conferences. Go to the Big Ten. We just mentioned Nebraska. Ohio State handled business against Michigan State. Michigan handled business against Indiana, pulled away in the second half.
Close until the fourth quarter. It was 17-10 until the fourth quarter. That was.
Yeah, and then they just kind of leaned on them a little bit. Purdue beat Maryland in kind of a thriller.
That was a fun one.
It was. Wisconsin won big. They kind of needed that win. And then I think the biggest story right now, Illinois 5-1 and leading the Big Ten West.
Who would have thought, right?
Who would have thought Brett Bynum has got the boys playing?
That thriller last night, though, what was it, 9-6?
9-6, yeah. I just bet the under in Iowa games. Man, just,
it's
that
guaranteed.
Seems to be easy money right now.
It's guaranteed to hit. Well, the defense keeps them in every game, but that offense is atrocious.
You got to wonder. Let's see. I wonder if they're I was off next week, so no. Total. Yeah, the big game next week is Penn State and Michigan.
Penn State,
two
Michigan.
Unbeatens playing in the Big House.
That'll be a good one.
That's the big noon game on Fox, or the big 11 o'clock game if you're in the Central Time.
I hate that the Big Ten always – well, not all the time, but they do that so much where they have their marquee matchup because – that game would be so much cooler at night.
It would be, yeah. And I understand what Fox is trying to do with that, you know, like not go up against ESPN or something like that. But no, yeah, just go primetime.
Because you're going to get your numbers either way. I mean, people are going to be interested in Michigan, Penn State, regardless of what they're going up against.
Yeah, for sure. I guess that's about it for, I don't think there's any small school stuff to really note. James Madison is in the top 25, only five games into their FBS lifespan.
Yeah, they took over App State, had all the hype, and they've fallen off, and James Madison's kind of stepped in their spot.
They have, yeah. The Dukes running high. Cincinnati kind of quietly having another decent season after losing that opener to Arkansas. They're 5-1. That's about it for the small schools, you know.
Yeah.
We'll move on to our power rankings for this week. Greg, kick it off. Who you got number 10?
Number 10, I have Penn State. We're going to learn about them coming up this week.
Yep, like we said, they have a huge, huge game coming up against Michigan next week. I got UCLA. I decided to give them some props.
Hey.
Just because, yeah, they're just looking good. They took out two good teams in a row. The offense is fine. It's looking like a vintage Chip Kelly offense.
Yeah, looking good.
Number 9, got the Cowboys, Oklahoma State. They're kind of quietly having an unbeaten season. Looking good. Who you got number 9?
Number 9, I have Ole Miss. I mean, they still undefeated. Struggled in the first half there against Vanderbilt, but came big in the fourth quarter there, really stretched out the lead, but looking good, undefeated. So,
all right, yeah. So number 9, you have Ole Miss. I have Ole Miss at my number 8 spot there. Yeah, they pulled away from Vanderbilt. Offense is looking good. Who's your number 8?
We kind of flip-flopped there. I got Oklahoma State at 8 there. You know, two solid wins in a row there. You know, beat Baylor last week. Tough game against Texas Tech. It was a home game, which probably helped them out a little bit. But, you know, the Pokes playing good football, still undefeated there. So
they are. Who's your number 7?
7, I do have I have Michigan. Dropped them down a little bit. Pulled out in the fourth quarter, but a little struggle there with Indiana. 17-10 in fourth quarter. So I thought maybe – should have been a little more convincing, but, you know, win's a win sometimes.
Indeed, indeed, it is. My seven is the Trojans at USC. They're just kind of handling their business. Nothing special to it. We'll see. No big game for them next week. Utah. Mm-hmm. I have Michigan at number six. Almost the same thing to say about them. Handling their business. Big game next week.
Right.
You know, that'll tell us a lot more. Who's your number six?
Six. We flip-flopped. I got the Trojans at six. Pretty much the same sentiment. They're doing their thing. If they win big in Salt Lake next week, I mean, you got to start thinking, man, Trojans are serious. So.
All right. Who's your number five?
Five. It's on to that week, but don't want to talk about them. But have Tennessee at five right now. They're playing good football there. Hendon Hooker's putting up numbers, winning the Baton Rouge and dominated. And, their first meaningful season for coming into this 3rd October, Saturday in October, and forever. And, this is their time.
Yeah, I'm same. I have that school that wears the horrible orange.
Trash
right now, convention. I'm not even going to mention their name. Yeah. Garbage truck worker convention. Just particularly awful. Just screw them. Go to hell, Tennessee. Fuck Rocky Top. No one likes you anyway. It's hate week, baby.
Yes, sir.
I'll be lighting up my cigar next week.
Can't wait.
Number four, got another orange wearing team, Clemson. Again, just at this point, they were just the big teams handling their business.
Yeah.
How about you?
That's also my four, Clemson. They're just doing what they've had to do. They've beaten their, I think they've already beaten their two biggest tests of the season. I think the matchup with Florida State's fallen off a little bit with Florida State's recent struggles, but, you know, still a game in name itself. And, Clemson's doing their thing and back to what people expected Clemson there. So.
For sure. All right, let's see. Number three, who you got?
Three, I moved us down to three this week. Bama three, just the struggles of the week there, but, doesn't matter. Undefeated there, but just, not as crisp as you would like.
For sure. I actually bumped down Ohio State to number three. They're just kind of humming along. They haven't really played anybody. They're handling their business, right, as many of these teams have, but nothing spectacular to me. Here's where I get a little crazy. Number two, I actually bumped down Georgia. For no reason, really, of anything they did. I'll explain it in a second. Is your number two Ohio State, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I have the Buckeyes at two. I mean, they're just beating everybody. Haven't played many great opponents, but they're doing and week in and week out what they're supposed to do there. So can't knock them for the schedule.
Right, which means you're – Georgia is your number one
Georgia,
still?
Yeah. I had Bama one last week, but yeah, Georgia bounced back, handle business. Did what everybody expected to do against Auburn and looked a lot more like the Georgia team we've come more accustomed to than what we saw last week in Columbia. So.
And I put Bama at number one. Kind of for the reasons we already talked about, not necessarily that I think they might be the best team right now. You know, if I had an AP vote, I don't know if I'd put them there. But because they just, like we said, backup QB, all the turnovers, the missed field goals. They won. They still won. They were resilient. The defense played really well.
They did.
Will Anderson was just in that backfield. Him and Dallas Turner in the backfield.
Yeah, we had a great – it was frustrating with Will because, he was a quarter of a second late like five times.
Yeah, it does – we've got a really bad – I think our turnover margin this year for Alabama is minus six, which you hate to see because they just don't have those ball hawkers in the secondary because Haynes King was throwing off his back foot a lot last night, and there should have been – you would have figured at least one or two of those would have gone for an interception, but like I said, his receivers were bailing him out. They had Stewart, like, really kind of put himself on the map as a future receiving star. Yeah,
he's a true freshman star. Yeah, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's going to be something to look forward to if you're an Aggie fan, for sure, and look forward or not look forward to if you got to play them.
The wins, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. All right, that is that's our college football coverage for the week. We'll move to our NFL talk. Before we get to the power rankings, I don't know if there's anything really to talk about. Of course, the NFL, the whole Tua situation took another step this week. They literally implemented new concussion protocol yesterday, like within the last 24 or 48 hours. And because, you know, whoever's running the show up there has a sense of humor, twisted as it may be sometimes, the Dolphins were the first team to have to enact this protocol. Teddy Bridgewater hurt on the first play of the game. The independent doctor said he saw signs of, you know, stumbling and all that. So he was not allowed to come back into the game.
Very ironic.
And they had to play with third string quarterback Skylar Thompson. You know, before we started recording, we were trying to figure out who the hell he was. He played at Kansas State. And then they in turn got just boat raced by the Jets. It was a close game. The Jets just turned it on late. Breece Hall is a star for the Jets right now. But yeah, any other thing you want to say in the NFL before we get to our power rankings there?
Just every week you never know. I mean, everybody, there's really no one outside of Philly that really, well, there's three teams really stand out. The rest is just the hodgepodge of you never know. And it's, you know, it's just, when you bet the games, it's kind of frustrating to bet the NFL recently.
Not fun. I'll kick off our power rankings. I dropped the Ravens down to eighth, another defensive collapse. I think we talked about it a little bit on the show last week as we watched the end of that game. I didn't like Harbaugh's decision to go for it on fourth and two at first, but the more I thought about it in the week, the more I agreed with it. That's in line with how he's always coached and how the Ravens play. What I didn't like was the play call. I'm not a Greg Roman fan by any stretch. He limits what they can do on the passing game, the offense. Mm-hmm. Lamar is, I mean, he's playing at an even better level than he did in his MVP season. Yeah. He's really put that offense on the back. I don't understand why you do a straight drop back pass in that situation and you don't give him some type of run pass option or just like a straight run play, just a quarter, like that power play they like to run where they get an unbalanced line, they get Ricard in there and just bowl some people over and let Lamar use his vision and his, you know, footwork to score. And if you don't get it, then you stuff Buffalo at the 1 yard line and they have to go 99 yards instead of, you know, get the ball at the 20. And, you know, so yeah. So I punished them, dropped them down to eighth. How about you? You got number eight.
Eight, I have the Bucks. You know, they got a little healthier, you know, lost to Kansas City, but, you know, they're still a talented team that's, you know, they're going to get it together. And, They're still a good team. Looks like the clear-cut favorite in the South again, I would say. And so the Bucks are my eight.
For sure. How about your number seven?
Seven. I have to give my guys some love. Of course, I'll probably jinx them now, but I got the Cowboys at seven. You know, didn't know what to expect there. And
They just blocked a punt.
Yeah, saw it. But, you know, just playing good football. Defense spectacular. The offense is doing enough to win games. Got to give them some love while I can.
Yeah, for real. And I'll save my point till I get to them in my rankings. But yeah, my number seven, I had the Giants, their division rival. Just to give them credit, man, Brian Daboll's got them playing hard, and they seem to be buying into what he's trying to do there. Having a healthy Saquon Barkley back is huge for that offense, right, even if you got Daniel Jones running the show. I had the Cowboys at number six, And yeah, like all the things you mentioned, they're playing hard. And like we just mentioned, they just got a block punt. They're already up 6-0 on the Rams, and now they've got the ball at the 20 to start this drive. They're doing things to win games, and that's huge for two reasons. One, you want to win games. And two, I mean, when Dak comes back, they're not going to be in a big hole.
Exactly.
And then that's a bonus for them going forward if they can get their main guy back and not be, you know, 1-3, 2-2. Have to be a couple games over 500. That's huge. Yeah. Who's your number six?
Number six, dropped them down a little bit, but I still have the Ravens at six. Yeah, they've blown two notable games there late against the Dolphins and the Bills there. But at the same time, you just know that they're a great team. But I mean, they just have some frustrating moments late in games. Have to learn how to close games out, but I mean, they're still a very, very talented team, and we'll see what they do against Cincy tonight.
For sure. And it's worth mentioning that Ronnie Stanley, by all accounts, is going to make his return tonight, which would be a huge boost for that offensive line in that run game. And that's how you close out games in the NFL. You do still got to run the ball. And so, yeah, that we'll see how that, like you said, big game tonight against Cincinnati, primetime. So we'll see if he actually does indeed come back and what impact that has on the offense. You got for your number five?
I mean, I, of course, did this beforehand, but, you know, the Dolphins at five for now. I mean, they were 3-1 coming into the week there. You know, nobody knew that they were going to be to the third string quarterback. You know, they still have a lot of offensive talent there, solid defense, but looks like they're not going to be around too long, especially Bridgewater, depending on what his health looks like. Could be a long season.
Yeah, same. And in my notes, I had the same thing. They're just not – they don't look the same without Tua for all the criticism he took before the season.
To say now, but
So, you know, for them and for him, you hope he can come back at some point. But, yeah, for them at least to get Teddy Bridgewater back, maybe, you know, the weird thing about his injury today was an elbow injury, and then he also, took a head injury. So we'll see what comes of that. But, yeah, I bumped them down. Just they're starting not to look great. And then, like you said, we do this before this week's games. We kind of maybe take Thursday into account. It's better if we don't talk about
it. I feel bad for anybody. I did myself, but anybody else who sat and watched that, whatever that was, man. Oh, man.
Yeah. Hard to call it a game. Yeah. Between the Broncos and the Colts. It was very, but yeah, the only good thing I can say about that is that I had Brandon McManus and the Broncos defense and the fantasy team. So they got me some good points. Yeah, there you go. So, I was actually cheering late for another delay of game call or something so they would kick another field goal in overtime instead of go for it. But that's where that game was. You were just cheering for the funniest, horrible, most horrible outcome. Number four, I got the Vikings on my list. Just that offense, man. So many weapons. I mean, just between Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook alone. And then when you throw in guys like Thielen and just all these other guys are just making plays for him. Kirk Cousins throwing the well. I believe that they come back and get the win today.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
Let's see. They did.
They were up big and then they got
check.
And then they left.
Yeah, they did end up winning. Yeah, they were up big and the Bears actually mounted a comeback. And then they won late, though. They did indeed. So now they're now – coupled with the Packers losing to the Giants this morning in London, I believe the Vikings are atop that division with a couple game lead, maybe. So that's big. Who is your number four?
I have the Packers. I mean, before the meltdown in London today, I mean, they were up 20-10 at the half and scored nothing in the second half at all.
Not good.
Going into that game, I mean, they got the ugly win last week against the third string, the kid out of Western Kentucky there, but against the Patriots. It went to overtime. Shouldn't have probably, but Bailey Zappi. But, that's where I had the Packers, and they might be dropping a little bit after today.
But. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about your number three?
Kind of had a tie at the three spot with Chiefs and Chiefs Vikings. You know, both teams playing really good right now. Not a whole bunch of separation. I would say both have outstanding offenses, a lot of different weapons. And you know, I just had them at a tie this week.
All right, that's fair. I too had the Chiefs at number three. Yeah, same thing. They're doing what they do. They play tomorrow night this week against the Raiders. Yeah. You still would like to see, you know, some receiver, kind of a big playmaker at receiver emerge for them, but as long as you got Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid calling plays for him, you're pretty good shape. Yeah. Number two, I had the Bills. Another team just playing really well. That we mentioned a big comeback last week against Baltimore, and you know, really rainy, horrible conditions. Mm-hmm. They shut out the Ravens the entire second half. Went down 20-3, and then just did not let the Ravens score again, and really didn't let them do much of anything until that last drive. And then today, just big time, the Steelers. So yeah, that's my number two. Yeah, how about you?
Got the same number two there. You know, bounce back from that Dolphins loss a couple weeks ago. Got their big road win last week, and then annihilated the Steelers today. And they're, despite all the injuries they've had off and on, you know, they're definitely humming there and doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, like, you know, Gabriel and Diggs, I mean, that's a tandem.
That's Gabe Davis. Yeah, that's just so many weapons on that offense. And, you know, they got tight ends, they got running backs that they really haven't even opened up yet.
They're scary.
And Josh Allen's just fearless, you know, and that's a big boy. When he starts running, he doesn't slide. He's not sliding. He's putting his shoulder into you, and he's making you pay.
For sure.
Yeah, which means we both had the same number one. The Eagles, the only unbeaten team left in the NFL right now. That's crazy to think
about. We're only in week five and only one undefeated team.
Yeah, right? Yeah, everyone bouncing around. They beat the Jaguars last week. That's right. They came back.
Went down 14-0.
Mm-hmm. Came back. They are playing in Arizona today.
They're up Cardinals. 7-0. I believe they're already up 7-0. Jalen had a touchdown run there.
Jalen. Oh, man. Jalen Hurts just playing, you know, balling out this year. And
early season MVP talk for sure.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, it's always ridiculous when you start talking about that this early in the season, but you have to mention is how well he's playing. Yeah, exactly. You know, we got to talk about something, right? Yes. They're just playing well on both sides of the ball. And, you know, again, that A.J. Brown trade, that looks like one of the best offseason acquisitions, maybe the best right now, just because the element he's added to that offense. Miles Sanders having a great year at running back. And, of course, Jalen
that offense
showing everybody he is indeed a starting quarterback.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Big one there. Any other NFL thoughts before we move on?
Just hoping Dallas continues to roll. We're 9-0 now. We can win here, go to Philly next week. That would be huge.
Oh, just gave up a deep pass right there. That's going to happen against Matt Stafford sometimes. That big gun. Playing with the white pants. I like that look for them, that the white pants with the blue jerseys. You don't see it a lot in Dallas, but I like that look. Nice. All right. We will move on to the Major League Baseball playoffs started this week. Three of the four wild card series have already been decided. The Mariners upset the Blue Jays coming back from a seven-run deficit yesterday? Yeah, big. So their kind of Cinderella season keeps going. The Guardians took two straight from the Rays, and the Phillies went to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, big walk-off home run in the 15th inning for Cleveland.
That's crazy, though. 0-0 going into the 15th.
Mm-hmm. I believe, first time ever in Major League Baseball postseason history. Yeah, that's just
enough.
And then don't remember who it was got that homer for him, but
it was Oscar Gonzalez in the 15th.
Yeah, Gonzalez. All right.
Yeah, but then the Phillies. So man, I was shocked that St. Louis got swept in that series.
Yeah, they their closer got hurt, and they Phillies six put a sixth ninth, spot on them.
The ninth on Friday night. Mm-hmm. Oof.
Yeah, on Friday, and it wasn't a good look for Cardinals fans either. You know, the alleged best fans in baseball, a lot of them were heading for the doors before the Cardinals even got a chance to bat, and they ended up, their boy Yadi Molina had a chance to tie it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things, like, dang, it's playoff baseball. What are you leaving for now? Like,
exactly. You never know what's going to happen in playoff baseball. Yeah,
it's not June or July anymore. What are you doing?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I'm not going to cry about the Cardinals being gone from the playoffs. Good riddance, yeah. The fourth wild card series will be decided tonight. Padres and Mets. Padres took the first one. Mets took last night. They played game three tonight. Winner take all. Their prize will be going to play the Dodgers. All right, so let's talk some predictions. Who do you think is going to win that, first of all, tonight? Who's going to win?
With how the Mets have looked recently, I think I wouldn't be shocked if the Padres won tonight. I mean, there's no weight on them at all. They're playing with house money. I mean, why not?
Interesting, big one. I think I'm going to go with the home team. The Mets think they might get a little boost from that win yesterday. They're an emotional team. Mm-hmm. They got Bassett going on the mound against Joe Musgrove tonight. The one dude thing I do want to look out, they took a risk yesterday. Buck Showalter did by throwing their closer, Edwin Diaz. And he threw a lot of pitches. And so if they need him tonight, wonder if he's going to have his same stuff. Yeah, so that's something interesting to watch. And like I said, the prize for the winner of that game is they get to go to the division series and play the Dodgers, the team with the best record in baseball. So who would you like in that series? The Padres-Mets winner versus the Dodgers?
Either way, no matter what happens tonight, I'd have to think the Dodgers win that series. I mean, it'd be I can't think of a situation where the Dodgers would lose 3-3 in that series.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they've played in, what, three or four straight NLCSs now?
I mean, they've owned the Padres all. They've owned the Padres all season. Mm-hmm. My goodness. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I agree with you. I think the Dodgers take still that series best of five, regardless of who they have to play.
Best of five now.
Correct. Still best of five, which I like that setup. I was talking with some friends earlier. I'm not normally a big fan of when leagues expand their playoffs.
I like this,
but they're going to do it. They're going to do it, and they got rid of the one-game wild card, which I hated.
It's just so many different variables. That, I don't know.
And that's not baseball. Baseball's a sport of series.
So, the three. I like it.
Three-game series.
Three-game thing there. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then my controversial opinion there was that they should get rid of the AL and NL split and just go to four geographical divisions.
That would be it.
Seed them from there.
That'll never happen. Which division would...
Never, no. Baseball, purists, if baseball purist would just.
If they even got brought up.
But, I'm sure. Yeah, I might get hate mail for that this week, just saying that. But I really do think, they're already playing the balance schedule anyway. Everybody, interleague plays play, everyone plays everyone. Everyone does the DH now. There's no difference. Old school split, And to me, there's no reason, if you're going to play certain teams more than others, like the Yankees and Mets should play more than any other team. You got the Orioles should play DC and the Phillies more. The West Coast teams should play each other more. The Texas teams. It's just one of those things. We'll move to the other NL series, Braves and Phillies. I like, of course, a big Braves fan, but I like them to take that. They won the season series over Philly. The one worry, of course, is their rookie sensation, Spencer Strider. If he'll be healthy to go in this series, that's a big starter. But there are other guys around and in the shape. Charlie Morton, of course, get him in October, and he's just lethal, and those bats are waking up. Ronald Acuna kind of found his power stroke toward the end of the season there, and they got momentum on their side after getting that big sweep over the Mets last week and to take the division.
I would definitely say the Braves. I mean, it's crazy to think, though, the Phillies, this is their first playoff since 2011. That's crazy to think about. But, you said the Braves, as you said, have the season series there. I mean, they're familiar with exactly who the Phillies are. No surprises. So, I mean, it's another one I'd be shocked if Phillies get a game. But, I mean, there's no way the Braves lose 3 to Philly.
Nah, yeah, I tend to agree there. So yeah, we both predict third straight Braves Dodgers NLCS.
To go to the chance of a World Series. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that as far as just the history and the two most talented teams in the National League. Why not? I mean,
yeah, it should be fun. We'll move to the AL now. Start the team to finish with the best record in that league, the Astros. They will host those Cinderella Mariners for 3 of the 5-game series. Who do you got in that one?
You know, I would love to see the Mariners do it, but I don't think that's going to happen. You know, Houston, they're just a great team, talented. They're just going to – they can be a little too much for the Mariners there overall. I think matchup-wise, they probably would have been a better matchup against the Blue Jays as far as the series-wise. But, things happen there. I think it's good to see Seattle back in the playoffs there. It's been forever, but since, 2001? So, then not only won the wild card little thing, but on to this. But, yeah, Houston's just too much for them.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'll go with the Astros. They kind of quietly had a really good year. They were only second in the best record to the Dodgers. And, they're still kind of public enemy number one amongst baseball fans for the cheating scandal in 2017. Yeah. But that doesn't change that they're a good squad.
Good squad. And that whole thing, I mean, I feel like at some point, if you're not, it's that old saying, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But.
Yeah, and sign stealing's been a part of baseball forever, and we talked about it with the Aaron Judge home run chase and Barry Bonds, and how people kind of want to not talk about him. But hey, he did it. Exactly. He hit 73 home runs, and Aaron Judge had a great season. Good for him. He set the AL home run record. He still hit the 7th most home runs in a season ever. And so, with that, we'll move to Aaron Judge and the Yankees. They host Cleveland, the Guardians. I tend to think I'm going to go all chalk in this. I think the Yankees will bounce back. You know, they did not have a great second half, but Judge got that. So, that distraction's out of the way now. They don't have to trot out the Maris family anymore and just focus on playing baseball. They got home field advantage, and I do think that they will take that series. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's Cleveland definitely the tougher opponent there. So I think it might be a good series. I think Yankees just too good there. The pitching's coming into form there. They've gotten healthy at the right time there. The pressure's off Judge for the home run thing, so he can just focus on baseball. But, yeah, I think we'll see Astros, Yankees in that ALCS.
All right, yeah, so we both had the same thing. We got the chalk teams that won the buys.
Which means we'll be way off.
Yeah. So expect literally all of the underdog teams to win. So those series will mostly all be played and decided within this next week. If the NL series go to 5 games, they get their game 5s on Sunday. If the AL series go to 5 games, they play their game 5s on Monday, the 17th. So that's it for that. Greg, you got anything else in the world of sports you want to speak on? Oh,
man, just a beautiful time of year we got going on. I mean, we got getting into the heart of college football. Got the NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs, preseason basketball, preseason hockey. As a sports junkie, I mean, you can't get better than the season we're in right now.
Absolutely. And I'll just add to that, across the pond, English Premier League, my boys Arsenal – big win over Liverpool this morning, top of the league. They're winning the league, baby. never mind that fact that Erling Haaland and scoring on pace to score about 100 goals for Manchester City. Just unreal what he's doing. It's fun to watch if you're a soccer fan. Of course, you know, we'll see what kind of havoc the weird World Cup schedule wreaks on the club season. Yeah,
what's starting around Thanksgiving there. Be interesting how that all plays out.
It's going to be the holiday season, right in the middle of all the, you know, domestic leagues. But yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to the Gunners, playing great. So, like I said, big 3-2 win over Liverpool this morning. Maybe the, you know, game of the season so far. Is a really exciting game. Bukayo Saka with 2 goals, including the penalty to take the lead. Of course, he was the guy, the young kid that missed it, the big penalty in the Euros last year for England. So you love to see him get a big penalty win. But we'll move. Greg, what is done up real good for you this week?
Done up real good this week. Well, my son plays flag football, getting him into that a little bit. You know, he probably didn't realize what he did yesterday playing, but he led to his pass rush, led to an interception, pick six. So I was kind of excited about that myself. Way more than what he was.
He'll get that in time. He'll understand, you know, it's not always the glory. Yeah. It's about just affecting the play sometimes, you know. Well, that's good.
How about you?
Let's see. I will say personally done up real good this week. Had some time to just do some household projects. Nice. You know, little things, you know, hanging certain things, putting up shelves, fixing things, et cetera, that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's always nice when you can actually knock out.
Do what you say you're going to do, my wife.
Now, if we could just get the roofing guys to call us back and fix this damn leak in our laundry room, you know, that's fun. Yeah,
nice. Yeah, for sure.
the joys of home ownership, right? Yeah. But all right, folks, that should do it for this week. We'll be back next week, of course. I imagine. Let's see. We'll probably do our big an NBA season preview next week, seeing as the league starts with the 18th regular season, something around then. Yeah, so. We'll prepare for that. We'll give y'all an NBA preview next week. Of course, we'll talk all kinds of football action and whatever else may happen this week in the world of sports. Greg, have a good one, buddy. Thank you once again for listening to Taking On Sports. Be sure to follow the Alabama Take on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I think we've got a TikTok. And maybe one day I'll create a feed for Taking On Sports. We'll see. It'll be a nice surprise. Until then, check out thealabamatake.com for great writings and podcasts. You can also find those podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. I'm going to say podcast one more time. We have every topic that you could want: music, literature, TV, pop culture, movies, wrestling, sports. We got it all on the Alabama Take. Keep it done up real good, folks. We'll see you next time.